Verse number one is where we're going to be reading from. Exodus 27, verse number one. And thou shalt make an altar of siddim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, and that the net may be even into the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of siddim wood, and overlay them with brass. The staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. Amen. Would you pray and ask the Lord to help me tonight? Father, Lord, I recognize my need for your help tonight, Jesus. God, would you touch us with your power, touch us with your anointing. God, move upon us tonight. Let the altar be precious to us, more precious than it already is when we're done tonight, this message. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The altar. Amen. If you were ever been around much carpentry work at all, some of you know better than myself. When it comes to finished carpentry, amen, it takes great detail. Amen. A man like Jim Lawson that comes and builds cabinets and things of that sort, I've been around that a little bit. All the detail, amen, that goes into something like that. When you're putting trim up, the detail that goes into something like that, amen, you have to be very precise. Amen. I prefer rough carpentry. That means framing and putting up the structure. It's a lot easier to me to do that, amen, than it is to put in the detail that goes in to finish carpentry work. And I'm going someplace with this, so you just hold on. Amen. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a 16th of an inch on a tape measure. Amen. When I was doing when you do rough framing and stuff like that, but when you get into putting windows in and you get to putting trim up, a 16th of an inch makes a great deal of difference. Amen. When you get down to the detail of it. Amen. Guys like Randy Coffey and Jim Lawson are a lot better at that than I am. I get aggravated sometimes when it comes down to those little minute details. Amen. But can you imagine what it had been like? Amen. Whenever you received the word of the Lord. Amen. When Moses was up there and he was writing down all that God said had to be done whenever they were building the tabernacle. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was. God didn't leave much question in Moses' mind or anybody else's. Amen. Whenever he was describing to Moses exactly what he was supposed to do and how he was to construct the altar. Amen. It's a very, very fine process that they went through, amen, in building the tabernacle. Amen. If you were to enter the tabernacle gates, amen, if you were to enter the courtyard, the very first thing you would come upon when you entered the courtyard, amen, was the brazen altar. Amen. That's what's described to us, amen, in my text that I read to you, the brazen altar. Amen. It represents the cross of Calvary. It represents salvation. Amen. It's the very first thing that you encounter when you enter the courtyard before you go any further into the tabernacle, before you get to the laver, which represents sanctification, before you ever get into the holy place or the holy of holies. Amen. You had to go by the brazen altar. Amen. He gives us a description in my text, amen, of the altar. Amen. It says that it was measured 5 by 5 by 3 cubits. Amen. It was measured and it was put into a square. Amen. A cubit, they say, is about 18 inches, so you can do the math and find out what it is in our terminology. Amen. It was made of siddim wood or acacia wood. Amen. Which represents, and some people believe it represents, amen, the humanity of Christ. Amen. And then it was overlaid with brass, which represents the judgments of Christ. Amen. You look at it, it was a hollow altar. Amen. In the midst of it, it had a grate where they placed the sacrifices upon. Amen. It was made so that whenever they burnt the sacrifices, amen, the ashes could fall through to the ground. Amen. It had four horns, amen, upon each corner of the altar. Amen. There was four rings around the altar and staves that they pushed through that the priest could carry them. Amen. But they said of all the pieces of furniture that was in the tabernacle, of all the beautiful, wonderful things in the tabernacle, when you think about the tabernacle, you think of, amen, the candlesticks that were beaten out of pure gold. Amen. You think of the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, how beautiful it must have been. Amen. With the mercy seat and the two cherubims on the top. Amen. But whenever you looked at the brazen altar, amen, they say it was not that attractive. Amen. It wasn't very attractive at all to the natural eye to look at it. All it was a piece of brass or copper, amen, altar there. Amen. But one of the most important things in the tabernacle, amen, was the brazen altar. Before they ever got anywhere else, I already told you, they had to go by the altar. Amen. Let me describe some of our altars to you. Our altars ain't near as extravagant, amen, as they had in the Old Testament. Whenever we think about the altar, amen, sometimes we think about the edge of the platform, amen, that's covered with carpet. Amen. Or you could think about at Granite City, my home church, amen, it was a recessed place in the platform, amen, that had beautifully stained and sanded, amen, a wood there that you could go and kneel at. Amen. I've had altars out of wooden benches before. Amen. Your altar could be that pew, amen, with the red fabric. The red fabric there and the padding, and that could be your altar. Amen. My altar sometimes is my couch in my living room at home. Amen. When I really want to get a hold of God and I feel like praying, I'll go to my couch and I'll kneel down there. I'll go to my big plush chair that I got in my living room. Amen. I make an altar there. Amen. I've known of men and that have made cleaned out spots in their closet. Amen. I believe it was Gray Atkins that said one time, amen, whenever he got saved, he took the Bible literally. Amen. He cleaned the spot out in the bottom of his closet and took his Bible and his pan. Amen. And there he went and he got there and that's where he got a hold of God at. Amen. I know of a sister, she's gone on to be with the Lord. I didn't actually know her, but I knew a boy from a church and amen, she would go out every day to a tree stump. Amen. And she made an altar at a tree stump. Amen. One day on her way home from town, she saw smoke coming up, amen, from around where her house was, and she started praying, said, oh God, if that's my house, if that's my field that's on fire, amen, just you can take my house, you can take my land, amen, but don't take my altar. Amen. And when she got home that day and found it where the fire had burned all through her yard, amen, she went to where that tree stump was that she had made an altar, and she said when she got there, there was a perfect circle, amen, around the tree stump where she had made her altar. Amen. When you think about altars, amen, I've had altars when I was driving down the road, amen, behind my steering wheel as I begin to meditate and think about God, the presence of God, amen, came down in the car and I had me a little altar, amen, in my car. I'm trying to tell you something. It doesn't matter what it's made of. Amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter, amen, what material it's made out of. But what we desperately need in this hour is for some folks to find the altar. Amen. We need the altar. Amen. There's some things that are very evident about the altar. Amen. According to the Word of God, the altar was a bloody place. Amen. The Hebrew word for altar literally is interpreted the slaughterhouse. Amen. That's what the altar means. Amen. The altar is a bloody place. In the Old Testament, after they had killed the sacrifice, amen, and they caught the blood from that bleeding lamb, amen, they would go to the brazen altar. Amen. They would apply blood to every corner of the horns of the altar. Amen. And then they would pour out the blood beside the altar. Amen. The altar was a bloody place. Friend, let me tell you something tonight. Amen. Our altar still needs to be a bloody place. Amen. What are you trying to say, Brother Dennis? I'm trying to say that the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Amen. Friend, it's at the altar that we find salvation. Not everybody that gets saved on Sunday morning and comes down to an altar. Amen. But it doesn't matter where you get saved at. There you have erected an altar, and that altar is a bloody place. Amen. Amen. It's not physical blood that we're talking about. No, sir. Amen. The blood that I'm talking about, it's the blood of a spotless lamb. Amen. The lamb that John told about. Amen. As he was there baptizing people, it was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. The blood that should be upon our altar. Amen. It's the priceless blood of the risen Savior. Amen. The blood that should be on our altar. Amen. Is the blood that Jesus shed for me and you. Amen. That washed away our sin and gave us victory over sin and gave us deliverance from sin. Amen. That's the blood that should be upon our altar. Amen. Amen. When a sinner comes seeking forgiveness, it doesn't matter what that sinner's done. Amen. It doesn't matter how vile, how wretched, how miserable that life that man or that woman may have lived. It doesn't matter if they were an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if they were a prostitute. It doesn't matter if they were a drug addict. Amen. It doesn't matter what you've been a part of. Amen. But if you find the altar and you come seeking forgiveness, amen, friend, that altar will be a bloody place. Amen. That'll be a testimony to you of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. The altar, it's a bloody place. Amen. But the altar wasn't only a bloody place. Amen. It was a fiery place. Amen. Amen. If you were to go to the altar, amen, the Bible said the altar, the fire was to be burning continuously. It was never to go out upon the altar. Leviticus 6:13 says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. What did they do then, Brother Dennis, whenever they would pick up camp and they would go someplace else? Amen. In the description of the altar, it said they were to have pans, amen, and shovels. You know what they did? Amen. One of the priests would go to the altar and take live coals that were on fire. Amen. And they would carry those ashes, or they carry those coals, and they would carry that fire, amen, until they got to the next place. Amen. You know what it was signifying of? Amen. It was a fiery place. Amen. The fire in the Bible, amen, it speaks of judgment, but it also speaks of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The altar is to be a fiery place. Amen. You know where it is where we get the Holy Ghost? It's at the altar. It may not be at this altar. It may be lying in your bed at home, Spencer. Amen. Where your altar may be, where the fire falls. But I'm trying to tell us something. Not only is the fire to be a bloody place, but it's to be a fiery place where the baptism of the Holy Ghost falls on His people. Amen. It was never to go out. Amen. It amazes me at people, amen, that come down in revival like we had last week, and they shout and rejoice and say, "Oh, I got the Holy Ghost." Amen. But you see them the next week, amen, and that fire has already went out. What was it? Amen. I don't believe, amen, they kept it up to date. I believe they let the fire go out. But friend, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes and falls in your life, amen, you better not let it go out, because it's a lot harder to get started the second time than it was the first time. Amen. Have you ever worked with ashes? Have you ever worked with wood that's already been burnt? It's hard to get it started the second time. You better keep the fire of the Holy Ghost continually burning in your life and never let it go out. Oh, amen. Amen. Acts 2 and 3 says, when the Holy Ghost fell, amen, there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, but also there was appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Friend, let me tell you something. They used to say when you got the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm saved, sanctified, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. You know what I think a lot of us are lacking? Amen. We're lacking a little fire, amen, burning in our souls. Friend, when the fire is burning inside, amen, you won't sit on a pew. Amen. You won't sit there and never worship and never praise. You won't go to work and not witness and let your light shine for God. But if you get full of the fire of Pentecost, amen, it'll burn and burn, and other people will be able to tell. Amen. It's a fiery place. Amen. It's a bloody place. Oh God. It's a fiery place. But oh, so many times, it's a neglected place. Amen. It's a neglected place. Amen. If you never went to the altar, there was no salvation. Amen. If you never went by the altar, amen, there was never the experience at the laver. Amen. If you never go by the altar, amen, you never walk into the holy place. Amen. If you don't go by the altar, amen, you're not even fit to be in the courtyard. You had to go by the altar. Amen. It amazes me at the people that want to come and shout and rejoice. Amen. And experience the blessings of Pentecost. But they never want the altar experience. Amen. We like to come in and turn it on and turn it off just like we do the lights. But we don't want the altar experience. We want to come to revival and have preaching like Johnny Gabbard. Amen. And we feel blessed and we have great services. Amen. But we never come back to the altar and we go back and we get involved in the same sorry mess we was in before He ever came. Friend, let me tell you something. We can talk about it. We can rejoice about it. But if we never come to it and never experience the altar, amen, we will be good for nothing. We must have the altar. Oh, amen. Amen. If there was any sin in their midst, if they had committed any sin, they had to bring a sin offering. Amen. To the altar. Amen. If they had committed any trespasses, amen, against their brother, amen, they had to bring a trespass offering to the altar. Amen. In order to worship, in order to praise, amen, they even had offerings for that where they had to come to the altar. Friend, let me tell you something. You can come out of here and you can have a form of godliness, but if you never go to the altar, you're denying the power thereof. We do not need to neglect the altar. Oh, it's a neglected place. Amen. Yet sometimes, amen, we are satisfied with an occasional trip to the altar. Amen. You know what that means? We come in, we have revival. Oh, we're having a good time. We sing, we shout, we rejoice. Amen. But then we don't go to the altar. Amen. We get in trouble again. We get into a trial again. We get into a trouble again. And then we have to run back and come to the altar. Amen. We go back out and sure, we're changed for a little while. Amen. But we go through the same mess. We neglect the altar again. And then we get in trouble again. A loved one dies. Amen. We end up in a trial. You know what we do? We run back to the altar. Friend, let me tell you something. I heard Don Rich preach one time. Tie yourself to the altar. Amen. If you have to ride the altar into heaven, amen, do it. Friend, don't neglect the altar. Amen. It's a neglected place. Amen. It's a neglected place. Amen. If we have any salvation, it'll come at the altar. If there's any Holy Ghost that falls, it'll be at the altar. If there's any revival that comes, it'll be at the altar. It won't be at the water fountain. It won't be messing around in the bathrooms downstairs during service time. Friend, if we have a move of God, it's going to come when people get back to the altar. Amen. We won't have revival to continue with us if we never go to the altar. But we cannot neglect the altar. Friend, let me tell you, I don't know why I've been so burned like this in all my life, but we must be at the altar. Very few times, and I've been in this thing all my life, I've not seen it as much as some of the others, but I've seen enough. Amen. Very few times have I ever seen a move of God start at the back of the house. You know where it begins at? Usually at the altar. Amen. You know when it begins? You say, well, I remember when people got in over here and started shouting and rejoicing and started back here. You know why? Amen. They'd already been to the altar. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something. Amen. You can laugh and giggle and have fun in church all you want to. You can pass the notes and you can let your young people do it. Amen. But friend, let me tell you something. Where you need them at the most is at the altar. You don't need them on a date with the boy of their choice or the girl of their choice. You need them at the altar. Amen. You don't need to be messing around at the back of the church. You need to be at the altar. You know why you're in the shape you're in? It's because you have neglected the altar. Oh, friend, it's a bloody place. It's a fiery place. Amen, but it's a neglected place. Amen. Brother Miller, Brian Miller, preached the message. I've heard him preach it twice. Sister Todd, I believe, was there tonight. He preached at his home church on Jabez. Amen. You go through the book of Chronicles, the first few chapters, all they do is list name after name after name after name. But then you get to Jabez. After countless names have been mentioned, all of a sudden it says Jabez. He was more honorable than all of his brethren. You know why? The Bible said he called upon God. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something. You know why his name was mentioned and said he was honorable? It's because he had an altar. Amen. He had a place to go. Amen. To get a hold of God. Amen. We need singers. We need preachers. But what we're needing more than anything in this last hour is people that will get to the altar and stay at the altar and pray at the altar and fast at the altar and seek God at the altar. Until it comes. Would you stand with me tonight and ask the Lord to help us? Oh God, Lord, I pray this message will be burned into the hearts of your people. Help us not to neglect the altar. Help us not to turn away from the altar. But oh God, help us to find ourselves there time after time after time. Oh, help us to get to the altar, Lord. Help us to stay at the altar, Lord. We need the altar. We need the altar, Lord. We need the altar. Why don't you come and let's make ourselves an altar. Amen. Let's seek God for this service. Let's ask God to bless us and help us in this place tonight.